Hey everybody, this is Angel with Sex Talk. I use they, she pronouns, and we're broadcasting on behalf of Alberta Sex Positive Education and Community Center. Make sure you check them out, www.astecc.ca. They're a nonprofit. They do everything from sex ed to supporting LGBTQ folks with safer spaces and that kind of thing. So it's been a while. So excited to be back on air. I'm so excited. And with me today, I have a very special guest. Stephen, would you like to introduce yourself?
Hi, everyone. My name is Stephen. I use he, him pronouns.
Can you tell us just one thing about yourself so they feel like they know you?
One thing about myself. Well, I've been on a sex positive journey since I realized looking back, preparing for this, since I was about 17. And I have a passion for web design, web development.
Nice. Web design and web development. And we know this because Stephen's been doing a lot of work with the nonprofit. So that's pretty cool. Today we're talking about talking, basically, which, you know, it's kind of cool. Stephen and I were having a conversation a while ago, and we were talking about how in typical day-to-day lives, people have a lot of topics that they just do not have safe places to discuss or to learn about, or, you know, to even really question their own thoughts and ideas about it, because, you know, taboo, and typically that's all around sex and stuff. And we were talking about how important it is to create space in society where we can have those conversations, and not that everybody has to have them, but why it's so important to need those spaces.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, it for me came about, and the realization of how important it is, my friend Mel's dad. I was going through a really tough time. When I first came out, my family disowned me, and I felt very alone. I had had to drop out of school because of some issues that happened at school, and everything was really difficult. And my grandmother put me into foster care, and my friend Mel's dad came downstairs because I stayed with them for about a week. And he talked to me, and he talked to me about absolutely, like, about everything, just everything that was happening. And he let me actually, like, talk and just have an open discussion, feel my feelings, and get things out that I'd never thought that I'd be able to get out, which for me felt absolutely amazing. I felt so loved, and I felt so seen and heard. And that was the first time during that entire ordeal that I'd actually felt felt that and was able to feel that. So for me, that was one of those pivotal moments in my life where it was like, open communication is so important, and to give somebody that ability, because I really didn't feel that great, and that made me feel like I was somebody.
That sounds like that would have been incredibly validating to have somebody that just made room for you to talk about yourself in a way that resonated authentically instead of having to follow the script.
Yeah. Or hide who I was, because that was asked of me a lot. And he opened, like, was very open about absolutely everything, and things he didn't know about. He was willing to listen to, completely shame-free as well. And at times learn as well. There's a few instances, He was a very interesting person. Accidentally left porn in his VCR one time, and he watched it. And he's like, "Well, that was kind of strange. It wasn't for me, but I can see why you might find that interesting."
Oh, that's awesome! And just nonplussed, like no.
You just like just bring it with you next time, so you don't lose it. I think is what he said when I left.
Oh, that's fantastic. How old were you?
I was 16 or 15 or 16 at the 16. Just turned 16.
So when you talk about having never been able to have those kinds of conversations before, like, no one ever talked about?
I was born into a very religious household that didn't talk about, definitely didn't talk about sexuality, didn't talk about sexual outlets. So for me, it was I didn't know who else to ask. I didn't want to ask people at school because I at the time I was going to religious schools, so that would just get back to my family, and that would just make situations what they were in the end. So it really, I did really up until that point hadn't had anybody that had really talked with me as openly and as deeply as he had.
That is, I'm so grateful that you had someone in your life that was able to do that for you, to provide that space. I can't imagine. I just can't imagine what a weight that would have taken off for you.
Absolutely, absolutely. It definitely opened me up to a lot more possibility, a lot more to a whole new world, really, of possibility. Knowing that that was something that was available to anybody, in especially my situation, I guess, for me.
Yeah, no, and that absolutely makes sense. Can you think, like, when you think about that now, about, the difference that made being able to have just the freedom to express yourself, to have questions, to have feelings that aren't part of that taboo social script that we're taught to have. Like, what do you think the biggest impact was for you?
Well, I stopped hiding who I was. So at the time I was engaging in sexual activities, but in very unhealthy and in very unsafe ways for a 16-year-old to be doing it. Because I had no other way of, like, I didn't know how to do it. So I did it in any ways that I knew how to do it, and that was in secret. That really opened me up to being able to talk to other gay people around my area and actually seek out healthier relationships, and not ones that were as dangerous. Like there, I looking back, I put myself in a lot of really dangerous situations.
So prior to being 15, you'd been putting yourself in dangerous situations?
Well, hooking up with people I probably shouldn't have, people hooking up with people that were significantly older than I was, or older than I was, and going places like to towns just outside of towns that I was living at, or that I was living at the time, in search of getting that satisfaction fulfilled without my family finding out, or without like having to have that discussion with them.
So for people who are just tuning in, we're talking about how important it is to have these open discussions. And my guest today, Stephen, an incredible human being, is talking about how prior to having a space and a person who is willing to have these conversations without judgment, without reservation, without expectations that you were going to hide who you are, where you could just be honest and authentic, that some pretty harsh decisions had been made just to try and feel like there was a way to connect, to belong, to be validated for the things that Stephen wanted to explore and express. And I think that's really important for any parents that are listening to really recognize that when we deny our youth access to shame-free, non-judgmental conversations about sex and sexuality, including sex acts, that they are going to get that information on their own. Like and the way they get that information on their own is not always going to be risk aware.
No, often quite opposite.
So do you have any, like, an example or a story that you'd be comfortable sharing to really hammer down, like, don't traumatize yourself, like just something to, give the idea to folks who are listening and like what a risk like that could look like. You can say
Just
no.
no, actually I there is one, because I think the importance of this, and again, open communication is something that I'm very passionate about. So The one instance that comes to mind is the internet was just coming about as a major thing. So I went on a website and met up with somebody or agreed to meet up with somebody, and they drove in from out of town. And we were supposed to drive back to his place, and I felt really uncomfortable with the whole situation and said, no, like I don't think I want to do this. But his vehicle was already in motion. He said, no, let's just do it. And he said, we're going to do this. And I had no, there's nothing I could do. Absolutely nothing I could do. We were going barreling down the highway, so I didn't want to like fight him and like go off the side of the road or, jump out of the vehicle. Luckily we hit a stop sign and I was able to do that, but I had to walk back to town quite a long ways. That was one of those situations where it was like, whew, I won't be doing that again. And then, of course, because of the lack of communication and everything that was wrong with that, that wasn't a learning lesson for me at that point.
That wasn't enough to.
It wasn't as jarring of a situation as I thought it was. Like in the moment, it was absolutely scary, but it was one of those things where it was like I didn't realize, like looking back on it now, that petrifies me. Like I was a child. Like I definitely should not have been in that situation. But at the time, it was like, I got away. It clearly this isn't as dangerous as I thought it was.
So, if I understand, you would have been dealing with a lot of repression of yourself prior to getting into situations like that, where, I mean, the need to just feel the feels and be who you are just had to have been overwhelming.
And once I actually got out on my own, that was something that I explored significantly further and in a healthier way. Not entirely, but in at least a healthier way. I learned a lot along the way.
No, that's fair. That's absolutely valid. I think, I mean, and when I think back to my teenage, adventures and whatnot, I know there were things I did where I just shake my head now. But when we're in a position where we already feel like what we're doing isn't acceptable, where it's not normal, and normal being a setting on the dryer, according to somebody who's very wise, not a setting for people, but the social norm script that we're taught to follow when it comes to sex and relationships and all that happy horse shit. Like the tendency is to take more risks. Like the tendency is to not use the same degree of sexual protections that somebody uses when they do have access to that honest communication. I mean, you're already doing something horrible. So, according to like the family, the religion, the culture, society, like whatever. So you might as well just not have any respect for yourself, right?
No, we're really that is really the case in my case at least it definitely was where I definitely had that mindset and carried that through to a lot of decisions until I was able to have open communication and was able to access information and access people that actually cared for my well-being and actually cared for having a proper discussion with me, being like, this is probably a better way of doing things. Like, have you ever looked at this way? And even the partners I chose started to change as I learned that, maybe the risky lifestyle or maybe the things that I was doing weren't the best way to do things. And again, keeping like it'd be like open and honest communication is again one of those things where it's just like, especially in relationships, like I've been in so many relationships where it's like I did not have that proper communication, and had to give up on those, but didn't do it like until it was far too late.
Oh, I feel that so much. Oh, I feel you. So, folks, you are listening to Sex Talk. My name is Angel. I'm here with Stephen today, and we're talking about the importance of open communication. We're going to slide over to a break, and we'll be right back. Enjoy the tunes. Hey everybody, welcome back. This is Sex Talk. You're listening to Angel and Steven talk about open communication. So we're talking about talking. And I think this is a really important thing. Stephen shared a really heartrending story about, you know, childhood experience and not being accepted and not being allowed to even discuss what that looks like. And then eventually having to go and live outside of the home and suddenly having a better support network. And so I really appreciate you being vulnerable and sharing that story. I know talking about those kinds of things can be really hard. But right before we went to break, you were talking about how even once you're in a relationship, we want to make sure that that open communication is there. And I think you were on the verge of a story. So,
oh, yeah. Oh, no, no. Okay. Well, there's lots of open communication problems. And again, I learned a lot through growing up. But there's a certain communication breakdowns, and this one is one of those pivotal ones for me. Whereas in this relationship, and it was about 5 years that we were in this relationship together, and we neither of us talked about anything that was ever wrong. And eventually, the relationship ended because we couldn't decide who was going to pick up the milk, and it became this huge big thing. and neither of us ended up getting milk, which was really annoying. But in that relationship, there were several times where, you know, he would, like, I would go through these little spells of, like, you know, I don't want to have sex. Like, I don't want it. Like, I don't, and I would try to explain to him, like, you know, I don't want, it's not you. It's just, I'm not in the mood for a while. And they wouldn't be for a long time. It would be for, you know, 2 or 3 weeks. And he would get really mad about it, and it would be all about him, and it would be completely about him. And I would try to tell him, like, you know, it's not, it's absolutely not. And then I would feel bad. And then I'd feel guilty, so I couldn't leave this relationship because all of this, this bad, poor communication, and why it wasn't, like, it wasn't working, and the reasons it wasn't working. And we just stayed in this vicious cycle again, like I said, for about 5 years, and it was absolutely one of the longest and most miserable relationships. But one of the, like, again, for me, like I said, a pivotal moment in me, in my growth, that I learned the importance of communication. Like, from there, I learned, because I was also, like, I hate to admit the fact that, like, we had an open relationship, but he didn't know about it. Like, that was the kind of, like, again, the lack of communication, because I didn't tell him, I couldn't tell him what I wanted because of all of the things, like, all of these things that we did not communicate properly on. And I couldn't tell him my needs, and I couldn't tell, like, without him feeling that it was something that he was doing or something that he was lacking. Like, I couldn't have what I needed without him feeling like he wasn't getting something, or like he was losing something.
So a couple of things sound like they were at play there. Like, it sounds like there was some ego protecting, right? Like, you're trying not to make the relationship tense, because we know that people tend to get a little defensive when it comes to not having genital-based exclusivity. That's my new word for monogamy, just so you know. I like it.
I love it.
I really like it.
I absolutely love it.
But I also wonder too, like, with, because you grew up where everything that called to you about sex and sexuality was taboo, it was off limits, it was, you know, wrong, that how much of your challenge to, like, communicate openly came from shame?
I would say probably a large portion of it, like a large portion of it was, and also a lack of education in it, because I didn't know how to do it. Like, I wasn't practiced in it, so I wasn't able to actually convey it properly. So I'd probably be thinking, oh, I'm saying this to him, when in reality, he's hearing, like, something entirely different, and that's not entirely on him, and not entirely on me, because I just don't know how to do it. Like, I don't have the skills to do it.
Well, you do now. To be clear,
I'm hoping I kind of do.
We've had some good discussions, so I know that you're able to communicate. But you're absolutely right. Like, in society, we're not taught to talk openly or assertively. Like, we're taught to hint. We're taught to, you know, leave magazines open to the page that talks about something we want in the hopes that they
read
it.
Passive aggressive.
And then be
Yeah.
angry when it doesn't happen. Like this is the socially accepted script for getting your sexual needs met, because going, hey, I would like your tongue in my whatever, like is
Yeah.
unacceptable. Like to where I want to say in my whatever, because like, oh my God, people are listening, right? And I'm sex positive, but that doesn't mean it's any easier for me. Like for anybody who's listening, I still struggle to say, hey, I would like this. Because
Yeah.
like, what kind of a shameful little slut am I? A big little slut. Just for the record. But like
Yay. Me
that
too.
restrictive upgrade bringing really creates challenges for like additional challenges on top of that normal social script where we're not supposed to talk about it, we're supposed to guess.
Yeah. But like I understand that like largely, and then still get still have those moments of getting angry at people for not being mind readers, like especially my partners, were just like, how do you not know? And it's like, well,
Right?
I haven't communicated it.
And
Like
translating things differently. Like I don't know what the communication was like in your family home as you were growing up, but I know in my home it was things like, I can't believe what a mess this house is, which we knew meant if you don't want to be screamed at for the next 3 days, get up off your ass and start cleaning the house. So we would get up and clean the house. So now if I'm like, wow, the house is really a mess, and my partner doesn't immediately jump up and start helping me clean it, I'm offended. Like instinctively,
Yeah.
I'm offended because that is part of how I was taught to communicate. So, like, if you loved me, you wouldn't want me to be frustrated, so you would start cleaning. And yeah, for the record, he does not communicate that way. So I actually had to learn to, put on my adult voice and say, hey, I don't want to clean by myself, and I'm hoping you're interested in facilitating this with me, because mind reading, and like that's a non-sex thing. It's like just imagine
Yeah.
what the sex communication was like when we got together.
The
Just, the communication
few
style.
missteps. Yeah.
Right.
It's really hard, I find, to get rid of those like those past like a lot of those past things, because I find that with mine, like the communication style in my household is like you'd get when something was needed to get done, it was said very directly but angry. Like all the time. So when somebody's very direct with me, or somebody's very like, no matter how they say it, they're angry at me. And getting past that, which I have been able or have been able to do then just understand that people are just being direct with me. That took me quite a while. Like, I'm in my mid-30s now, and that's something that's just came about within the last like 4 years.
And I don't think we
Yeah.
realize how much of our well, especially like I'm a Gen Xer. So my parents are boomers, and boomers are probably the least adult when it comes to emotional regulation, and emotional intelligence in general. Like, as they weren't given that opportunity, like their parents went through a lot of trauma. So, it they can if you look at all the different generations, what they're learning. So like they definitely didn't know how to talk about their feelings in a direct, my boundaries are here, but I will respect your boundaries sort of way. So hopefully the younger generations find this stuff a lot easier, especially because they can get online and find out there's a whole community of queer perverts just like them.
Lucky them, yay, in a safe
I think,
way.
no, absolutely. So when we're talking about like open conversations and communication, like I know for me, I don't know where I'd be if I hadn't met Mark and found a space that was safe for me to look at what my own sexuality is, to think about my gender, to think about what kind of sex I like and don't like, and talk about it without ever worrying about being punished for it. Because like there's that certain punishment that happens a lot, especially in heterosexual relationships, where they're like, tell me your fantasy, and then they shame you for it. Or it's like, well, you told me your fantasy, so now I'm going to tell you what we are going to do. And it's like, no. You know what I mean? Like it becomes a weaponizable list, and I'm curious for you, like, have you ever thought about where you'd be if you hadn't had that opportunity? Like, what do you think?
Well, it definitely opened me up to a lot of things. Like, I don't know where I'd be. I probably would be somebody that I wouldn't have been able to explore it. Like, I don't think I would have ever opened up. I would have probably, in all, I don't want to say it because it's really morbid, but I probably would have died in a back road somewhere, in the town I was living in, because I didn't branch out and I didn't expand and go somewhere safer for that kind of like behavior and to people, like around people my own age. And I didn't like, I started seeing people that were more age appropriate and more like I didn't get into the cars with strangers.
Less
Well, I did,
predatorial.
but it wasn't for longer distances and I was a little bit smarter about
And
it.
I mean, I understand not wanting to be morbid, but I just really want to honor what you said there, that without having that opportunity to be able to talk about things in a shame-free way, in a way that included giving you access to information, you might not be alive right now.
Yeah.
What a crappy place to break. But we are going on a break. I really thank you for that, Stephen. Hang on there, listeners. We are coming right back. We are listening to Sex Talk. My name's Angel. I'm with Stephen today, who's just been an incredible guest already. We're talking about the importance of open communication, not just with our partners, but also with ourselves, within our families, within our social groups. You're listening to Sex Talk. We'll be right back. Hey everybody, this is Angel. You're listening to Sex Talk. Today I'm with Stephen. We've been talking, hitting some pretty emotional topics actually, but we're talking about how important it is to have spaces in our families, in our relationships, and in our personal lives, whether that's, with a trusted mentor or whatever, where we can talk about things that are deeply personal and often taboo without shame. And Steven, a crappy place to break, but I knew if I started talking about it, we would be way over time and GTFO would be yelling at me.
It's
they never
okay.
yell. But like that really hits me, I think, where it counts,
Yeah.
because that really drives home how important it is, especially for our youth who aren't straight, aren't cis, that they have to have access to information. They have to. And when I think of your stories where you're talking about the type of sex that you were pursuing as a youth, and you talk casually about hooking up with older men, getting in their cars, and we have a word for that in our society, and that's child abuse and predators. And I'm grateful that you made it out okay. And very grateful. So for people who are parents and whose youth are saying to them, like this is who I am, and this is me, instead of being an asshat and only giving them information as to how to have sex safely as a cis person or a het person. Cisgender being that you're the gender you were assigned at birth, het being you're attracted to people of the opposite sex. Like recognizing that we have to give comprehensive sex ed. We have to talk comprehensively about relationships, not just like how to fuck, but like how to date, how to navigate consent, how to set boundaries. Like these are super important conversations. And if your child or someone you love is engaging in behaviors that you find risky, helping them find ways to mitigate those risks instead of judging them and telling them to just not do the thing, hugely important.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's a small miracle, actually. given, like, looking back and, like, when I was researching, like, thinking about that, like, when I was doing this, looking back on everything, I don't have any ST or I don't have any STDs, and I don't have anything that's long that was long lasting. Like everything that was happened was treatable, and not damaging. Like I don't have any long term lasting damage from anything that did happen. Because that misinformation and lack of education didn't stop when I, eventually got information. I was just like, well, now I'm making informed decisions and informed consent, and no, that's still a lack of education. Like I didn't have the education that I did. So it's a small miracle that I didn't contract anything that could have been potentially very harmful or very dangerous for me.
Like a bad case of kidnapping.
Well, I was an escort for a while and was assaulted while I was doing that. So that was an experience that I that was pretty traumatizing.
I'm so
But
sorry.
again, something that I've worked through, something that I've been able to work through, and something that actually has given me a lot of strength, has made me a lot stronger of a person, and something that I'm able to talk about and share about now that after it first happened, of course, it was one of those things that I was so ashamed about, and hid and didn't want to talk about. But again, like the second the words came out and I was able to access help, all of that shame and guilt and all of that thing, the things that I didn't deserve to carry, were released. Not immediately, not like a huge release, but it was a lot. A lot of that burden was gone.
Just by being able to talk about it just kind of took the weight for you. I'm so glad.
And again, yeah.
And I mean, that's just funny how this just organically ties right back into our favorite topic around here, consent, right? Because when we create situations where we stigmatize people for things, whether that's sex work or being queer or not being monogamous or liking kink, like whatever the thing is, we create situations where we silence them. And when we silence people, they are vulnerable to abuse and they're less able to access help when they are abused. And it's just a terrible little cycle to put people through. I'm really grateful that there's voices like yours in the community that share your stories and share your truth and advocate for clear communication.
Thank you. Well, I'm glad that I can be like, I'm glad I'm able to do it now and be a part of an amazing community and share some of the missteps, a lot of the missteps that I've made, and a lot of the things that are a lot harder to go through. So hopefully some people don't have to go through them just through some communication, talk, share, and there's lots like you can't get what you need if you don't talk about it.
Absolutely. And Stephen, I'm curious, like we hear a lot from parents of, like the concern of not wanting to give their kids information because they don't want them to have ideas that they wouldn't have had without that information. And like, do you have any thoughts on that? You're laughing. So for
For me,
the record,
I'm just saying
we're
for
actually
me.
web conferencing right now to record this. So like I got to see the smirk happen before the sound came out. So and I understand, like from
As
our
soon as the
perspective.
question is, for me, the ideas were already there, and as I've already mentioned before, I didn't have that information. So I first went to like I'll just bring back to you, I went to a condom like I went to the pharmacy, and at the time the condoms were behind the store, and they asked me a bunch of questions before I bought these condoms, and I was like, you know what? Fuck it, fuck you guys, keep them. And I went out and I was like, screw it, and I got all of this like stuff like wrong. I hurt myself in a lot of ways. I had to actually like I actually physically hurt myself, mentally hurt myself, and I did a lot of there was a lot of missteps and a lot of trial and error and a lot of like doing things really wrong that could have been easily avoided by having proper access to information. And all of those ideas were already there. Like there's absolutely nothing that would have could have stopped me from doing what I was going to do. The only thing that would have made it better is if I had correct information so I didn't get hurt and I didn't want to, like, it actually made me even more curious because I was like, hey, when I'm doing these other things that the like with these people that probably shouldn't be hanging out with, I learned new things. And I was like, I didn't even know that was actually a thing. And you know, like I've done like a lot of stuff. Like there's been a wide range. Like I said, I've been on this journey since I was 17 and I didn't even know I was on a sex positive journey. I just was living a crazy life. Well, pardon me. That's not a good way of putting it. I've lived an interesting life with a lot of adventures and I've said yes to most things and I like that, but with a little bit more information, it would have been a lot nicer to go through.
And having access to like the queer community as a youth, right? Where do you find other people more age appropriate if people are pretending it doesn't exist in the first place?
Yeah. Well, yeah, actually, like the school that I went to really mishandled the situation that I went through. I accidentally came out at school. My friend, she was a lesbian. I was yelling into her ear because she came out to me like 2 days before and I was like, you know, at a pep rally, I was like, oh, I'll tell her. And I was yelling into her ear and she was deaf in one of her ears. And I kept getting progressively louder. And I was like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm just going to yell. And I yelled it at the top of my lungs. The entire auditorium went fucking silent. And I so yelled, I'm gay. Absolutely everybody.
Oh, Jesus.
In the auditorium.
Oh, no, no.
And
no.
I was absolutely mortified. And this football player, one of my former teammates, was like, yeah, we all know. Okay, whatever. If that's the worst, that'll happen. That's fine. Fuck it, whatever. So I go into school the next day. And the same guy, as soon as I open the door, says, asses to the wall, the faggot is coming. And the walls part. Like, everybody, the whole line, like, straight through. My math teacher, my, vice principal, and my English teacher, all have their backs to the wall as well. And I turned around and I walked out. So... yeah, like I think that like society in general, but that was a different time. Like that was an absolutely different time. But like in smaller towns and in smaller communities, like if I had something like at that point, like that even a little tiny bit of like accessibility to say, you know, you're okay. Like you'll survive this. Like you're valid at least. Not you're a joke. And then when I went to the school board, because, yeah, like, I don't know, I decided to try to fight it. I said, well, you shouldn't have made a spectacle of yourself. And then they proceeded to call my grandma, and then my mom, and then that's when the whole thing happened with my family. So, absolutely.
I'm so grateful that where you ended up is so far away from that. You know, like, no child should have to go through that. And I honestly, I'd like to see us get to a place where these conversations happen so organically and so constantly throughout our lifespans that there is no coming out, you know, because you're not locked into something. You don't have to check a box, you know, like that. I would like to see that.
That would be absolutely amazing. That would be so fantastic because I don't think there should be a point to it. You shouldn't have to announce who you are attracted to, and that shouldn't matter at the end of the day.
No, it shouldn't. And like, and that's, ugh. Anyways, this is Sex Talk. We've been talking about the importance for open conversations around sex, gender, sexuality, consent, all that kind of stuff, sexual health, you know, relationships, communication of all sorts. And with me today is Steven. Steven does a bunch of IT stuff, has been amazingly working on our website. I can't wait until the new site is up and running. Hint, hint. Now I've said it on air, so you are totally locked in.
He'll be done soon. It'll be done soon. Don't worry.
Ever folks are just tuning in, I really encourage you to download the episode and listen to it from the beginning, because lots of important messages in there about the harm that it does when access to healthy, shame-free, comprehensive information about gender and sexual health and sexuality and relationships is not part of a person's lived experience. Really, thank you, Stephen, for coming on the show. I hope you'll come back out.
Thank you.
Again, I feel like the hour just kind of zoomed by. And again, thank you to GTFO for sponsoring our podcast and providing us with an online platform. If you would like to donate, we would love your money. Check out our website, www.aspecc.ca. There's a donate button on the front page. There's also a how to support us page in the menu. Like lots of ways you can donate. We'll take your money, e-transfer, text message, PayPal, credit card, pennies, whatever you got, we'll take it. And that all goes to sex positive education, including things like this, the podcast. So thanks all for listening. Thank you again, Stephen, for coming out. This is Angel, and you've been listening to Sex Talk.